This is The Think Tank, talking about the major economic, political, and social issues of the week on the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3, KTAR. Here's Dr. Mike O'Neill and Mike Russell.
Welcome to The Think Tank. Thanks for spending a little bit of your weekend with us. We do bring it. We're going to make it worth your time. Joining us on the phone is your Arizona Attorney General, Tom Horn. Mr. Horn, thank you for being with us.
Good to be with you.
Afternoon, Mr. Horn, Attorney General. You are in the midst of a re-election campaign. In the face of this, however, you're also under investigation by the Secretary of State's office recently, possibly the Clean Elections group, though you've objected to that. And your finances are in, and you're having some trouble raising money. Are you going to survive this?
Oh, yeah. This investigation is based on a complaint by a disgruntled ex-employee who has a history of making complaints against her employers when she leaves them, including the McCain campaign, where she demanded a huge amount of money for overtime, and they said it wasn't valid, but they paid it to avoid political embarrassment, and others as well. She has that history. And in response to that, I have filed witness statements from 11 witnesses saying there's nothing to it. So now when you say I have trouble raising money, at the last financial report, I had about $400,000 in the bank, and my primary opponent had about $80,000 in the bank. So I've done quite a bit better than he has in raising money, and I think he's shown himself to be a minor leaguer who can't play in the major leagues, couldn't possibly win a general election. And I'm the one to beat the Democrat and continue to resist federal overreach, whereas if the Democrat, Felicia Rodellini, were elected, she would be Obama's attorney general. I'm Arizona's attorney general to fight federal overreach.
Well, we have a Republican governor, and for some reason she endorsed your opponent, and that's pretty unusual for a sitting governor to endorse a primary opponent of a city incumbent. Why do you think that happened?
Well, you know, sometimes you get a self-selected group of people who view themselves as the establishment, and they want to choose the candidates or the office holders, but it doesn't work that way. The voters choose them. When I ran in 2002 for state superintendent of public instruction, both of the senators endorsed Jaime Molero, who was at that time the incumbent, and all the congressmen but one endorsed him. And there's a lot of the same people who've endorsed my opponent this year. And Molero ended up carrying one county out of Arizona's 15 counties. He carried Santa Cruz County, where he grew up. So running against the establishment works well for me.
Now, so is that what you're running on, sir? Are you running against the establishment, or are you running on your record?
I'm running on my record, and it's a very important record. I'm glad you gave me a chance to mention that. I argued and won two important United States Supreme Court cases last year, both of which involved fighting federal overreach and overreach by the Obama administration. In one of them, I established Arizona's right to require that people give evidence of citizenship when they register to vote, so that only U.S. citizens and not illegal aliens will vote in Arizona elections. And the other one, I got the U.S. Supreme Court to unanimously overrule the Ninth Circuit on an issue of federal courts interfering in Arizona courts enforcing our criminal laws. I defeated the Obama administration National Labor Relations Board on the issue of card check. I'm fighting the Environmental Protection Agency, where they want us to spend $500 million on a visibility standard that gets you so little visibility it's not visible to the human eye. I won a Supreme Court case prior to that, the case of Horn versus Flores, in which I got the Supreme Court to tell federal district judges not to tell us how much money to spend on English language learners, that saved Arizona taxpayers over $300 million. I've personally argued in Arizona Superior Court, Arizona Supreme Court, Federal District Court, the Ninth Circuit, and the United States Supreme Court, defending Arizona against overreach by the Obama administration. And that's going to be the major difference between myself and the Democrat, Felicia Rodellini, who would be Obama's attorney general and would argue on the other side of those cases.
And we're talking to Attorney General Tom Horn. Now, you mentioned the ID, photo ID for voting. That seems to be the hot topic. I think that's going to be one that will bubble up as one of the key issues.
Now, I agree with you.
Okay. And are you going to be keeping a lot of your eye focused on that one issue, or are you going to be talking about, hopefully, expanding on the others that you just mentioned.
No, I'm talking about my entire record. I have a very active record, not as just a passive administrator, but as somebody who goes into court myself, including, last year I'm 2-0 personally arguing at the United States Supreme Court.
But your opponent
on a number of issues that involve protecting Arizona against federal overreach. Now, in addition to that, I've greatly expanded consumer protection. I brought $2 billion into the state in a settlement with the five largest bank on mortgage fraud, which helped people in their homes and also helps revive the Arizona economy with an infusion from outside of $2 billion. So I have a lot of other accomplishments that I can talk about.
Now, on those issues, you may or may not, you may have a disagreement with Felicia Rodellini, but I'm not sure you have a disagreement with your opponent in the Republican primary, do you?
Perhaps not. I've got a record to point to, and he doesn't. And I guess that's the big difference, is that I've been doing these things, and he hasn't.
Well, I do want to get back to you. You mentioned Sarah Beatty and her accusations. What do you think her motivations are in taking on a sitting attorney general? That would seem to me to be a pretty daunting thing for a 23-year-old to do. What's her motive?
Same motivation that when she attacked her other employers that she left, she got them to pay them settlements. She's not going to get that with me. But the motivation is to get money. In fact, her lawyer said... in a letter that there may be a civil action in the future. So it's a matter of getting money. And I think the thing that is clear in this case is you've got 11 people filing statements saying there's nothing to these charges.
Okay, now we want to thank you. This is Attorney General Tom Horn. We want to thank you for taking the time. I know this was a bit of short notice. I know we had a little bit of a time conflict there. We really appreciate you coming on. We wish you the best of luck in the election, and I look forward to you stopping by again soon.
It's my pleasure. I'm happy to come on whenever you want me. I'm a big fan of KTAR.
All right, thanks so much. Attorney General Tom Horn, what we're going to do, we're going to talk about all things campaign today. We're going to talk about some dark money. Doc, you into this? You ready to go? I know you're wound up like
we
an 8-day
have
clock
with
over
us
there.
Probably the foremost expert in the state, Evan Weiglob, who has done more investigations on this topic than anybody.
Well, we're gonna talk to Evan next, right here on the Think Tank News Talk at 92.3 KTAR.
You're listening to the Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
We are back in the think tank. I got to tell you, that was a little bit of a surprise. We were rushed here. I invited Tom Horn to join us last week, and I didn't receive a response from his press secretary.
It's the government. They just assumed all would go to plan. We're good.
I walked in the studio, and they said Tom Horn is on the microphone, so we did him. I wanted to start, move back, and just reset here.
Reset
here. Last week, we had Grant Woods on, and I had a number of observations. We didn't get to recap that. Now, I just wanted to make a few observations about that. You know, when we do surveys and ask people what they want in a politician, what they tell us is we want people who are concerned about issues rather than partisan advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of these things that you hear about what people want in theory, they want people who will cross the aisle when appropriate. Who are not just going to stick with their own party. Well, Grant Woods, a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, started out as an aide to John McCain, but has a history of here and there endorsing Democrats when he thinks they're better, that which, of course, is partisan heresy, which is why you may recall in the beginning I said I didn't think he could get nominated for dog catcher in the Republican Party. That's why. And then the next comment, he ran for attorney general because of all things he said he wanted to be attorney general, not as a stepping stone to run for governor. That's the kind of thing that people say they want.
No, preaching to the choir there, Doc. You know I'm a Grant Woods fan. I've always been a Grant Woods fan. He's an amazing man. He's an amazing Arizonan, and I wish him a bigger political campaign if he wants that.
The point, and I don't think he wants that.
I know, and it's so sad. That's why he needs to be in Arizona politics, because he doesn't want to be in Arizona politics.
We want the guys who don't want it. That's true, not the guys for whom it would be the best job they ever had. But I was kind of making a different point here as well, which is we ask people what they say they want, and then what happens is they get inflicted by the savagery of campaigns, and especially if you don't pay a lot of attention to it. people walk away and they say, well, that's all, they're all dirty, they're all just in it for the, you know, the kind of stuff that you get with low knowledge. In other words, the kind of stuff that you get if the only thing you know about politics is what you get from watching the negative commercials, then you decide they're all bad and you throw up your hands. And then to folks like that who don't pay attention for that reason, I just have three words. It's your fault.
There you go.
Right. If you don't pay attention, you're going to get the kind of
But if you
politics.
Do pay attention and all you see is commercials that bash on one or the other and they're not from one of the candidates, we're going to talk some dark money here.
Well,
it's hard not to.
You got to get past that. But if you don't pay much attention, what I'm saying is all you're going to get is the bashing and the commercials, and that's all you recall. If you pay attention all the time, then you can kind of sort it out. Well, we have with us here a guy who has sorted through probably about as much of this as anybody, Evan Weiglobe of the Arizona Capital Times. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we throw out these. I want you to give us kind of a campaign 101. Start out with, what is dark money? How does that relate to what we call independent expenditures? Take us from ground zero. Tell us what this is and what role it plays in our politics.
All right. Well, dark money, I guess to sum it up best, is where you see political spending, but you can't get to where the money is coming from, the original source. Campaign finance, you know, it's been this tug of war for like 40 years now. You've got the people who want to see more disclosure, and then you've got the people who want to fight against any kind of laws that require those disclosures. And so, you know, the current kind of situation we're in, we call it dark money. There's a lot of these groups. They are able to raise a lot of money, move a lot of money around between groups, obfuscate kind of where this stuff is coming from, and you can only kind of catch a glimpse by looking at some of the ad buys or digging through the campaign finance reports to see where these some of these groups are interacting with groups that do require disclosure.
And my favorite is you look at the consultants they hire. Sometimes you find very interesting patterns that give away a lot.
That's one of the best ways that we're able to kind of tie some of this stuff together, and you can't always do it conclusively, but you can say, well, you know, here's a consultant that has done work for this group, and now that consultant is spending a ton of money on this particular attack ad. And so, you know, you can draw your own conclusions from that. But you asked about IEs. So, you know, we've got this sort
independent of expenditure campaigns.
Independent expenditure committees. Yeah, these groups, you know, they're a little bit more traditional, and they've been active for years and years and years. They basically jump into the race, and they spend money either for or against. And they are required to report that stuff. But, you know, what has changed over the past few years is the way that these 501c nonprofit groups are used. Because those, you know, while traditional IEs, independent expenditures, when they do some spending, they do have to report where they're getting the money from. But more and more frequently, we're seeing that they're taking the money from these nonprofit groups that just don't have to.
In other words, there's an intermediary in the way, like Citizens for All Things Good.
Right.
The money comes from God knows who. It goes to Citizens for All Things Good. And then Citizens for All Things Good mysteriously donates to an independent expenditure campaign on behalf of a certain candidate.
Exactly. And so, you know, over the Capital Times, we've got a handful of reporters that really spend their time and effort trying to put this stuff together. You know, Jim and Jeremy and I and everybody over there, really, we do our best. And, you know, we've seen this year, you know, if you look at just what the gubernatorial candidates have raised through their official campaign committees, you know, we're looking at somewhere in the ballpark of $8 or $9 million at this point. Not sure exactly.
Well, that's a lot more than the public expenditure reports for the candidates themselves. A lot of that's got to be independent money.
Right. Right. So, yeah.
Who's got how much independent? Run us through on that.
Okay, so you got to kind of add up these different groups, right? And, you know, we're looking at one that's popped up recently. It's Better Leaders for Arizona. This is a group that is, you know, we're seeing them as a pro-Jones, pro-Christine Jones.
In fact, you know, I think most people would get lost if we went through all the names individually.
Oh, yeah.
But give us a total by candidate of how much it looks like each one has working for them.
You know, we are still adding up. I'm literally holding in front of me ad buy stuff that's coming in today, and I can't really pin down those numbers for you right now. We're looking at a $60,000 ad buy that was just made today for one of these groups, and that's a group that has already run ads which are anti-Christine Jones. You know, I'm looking at all sorts of numbers here. We're seeing the Legacy Foundation Action Fund. If any of that means anything to you,
we look means at, they don't want you to know who it is,
right? Got $161,000 total. We've got Better Leaders for Arizona. That one's, you know,
how can you be against Better Leaders for Arizona? Exactly. Come on, it's people for all good things, puppies.
If you don't like Better Leaders for Arizona, that means you want worse leaders for Arizona.
You're darn right. See, you're against having better leadership if you're not for this group. And let me ask you this now: what's illegal and what's legal?
What's illegal? Here's what's illegal is when you coordinate between groups that aren't supposed to be working together. Because essentially, if they are working together, if they are coordinating, this is no different from official campaign activity.
Right.
But we want to be able to track campaign contributions.
Okay.
So if you've got, you know, one of these groups like Better Leaders for Arizona, and they're out there working hard, you know, pushing for Christine Jones, you know, you're going to expect that whatever they're doing is not being the shots aren't being called by people that are actually in the Jones campaign.
Right.
That's what the law says can't happen.
So that can't happen. I'm gonna stop you right there because we got to go. We're up against a hard break here. But I want to talk about getting into the weeds here with the dark money because it's something we all should know about and it's something that we should all understand. And we bring it to you every weekend right here on the Think Tank News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
You're listening to The Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
We are here with, among others, Evan Weiglobe, Arizona Capital Times expert on dark money. Let me ask you a very, very simple question on this. Broad stroke, impressionistically, Arizona gubernatorial race. My impression is, if by the time you get through adding up all these groups, the impression I have is Christine Jones and Doug Ducey both have a pile of money and nobody's close.
Well, they're certainly the ones that have a lot of spending going on, you know, around them. You asked about kind of top line numbers here. You know, I'm looking right now at $775,000 spent in opposition to Doug Ducey by IE groups. You know, these are outside groups spending that money. That's $750,000. You've got, you know, it looks like somewhere about $125,000 circling around Christine Jones. This is just from the Secretary of State's website. And again, you know, we have to kind of piece this together looking at ad buys as well, because this stuff doesn't always come in through the same through the same channels.
Well, you mentioned $750,000 against Doug Ducey. That one caught my attention in particular because I think if you backtrack this salvo of war started out when Doug Ducey did campaign, her independent groups on behalf of Doug Ducey did hit pieces on Christine Jones and on Scott Smith. And the Christine Jones people who have the money responded in kind. And then I get an email from Doug Ducey's people, and it says, as you may know, a deep-pocketed third-party group has begun TV ads, recycling old campaigns, etc. Negative ads against me have now begun. $750,000. The upshot of which is send money today because I have to respond. Of course.
It's always send money today, please.
Well, that's the bottom line on all this. But what I thought was particularly amusing on this is that this all started out when he did negative campaign ads on two candidates, one of whom had the money to respond.
You know, they like to call those contrast pieces.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah. We're talking about the Arizona gubernatorial race here. Let's get a larger view here. Let's go even outside of Arizona. We can go to national politics. We can go to other states as well. How unique is this? Or is this rampant across the country?
Well, good question. I don't have a real solid answer for that. But one thing I'll tell you is that you know, one of the bigger names here is Sean Noble. And this is a guy who has moved a lot of money through some Arizona-based groups, but they've got influence all over the place. They got in some trouble, you know, over the last 18 months, 24 months or so with, what's the name of it? California's Fair Political Practices Commission.
there you go.
And so Sean Noble. And,
he's the one who money laundered that money through Arizona and took 15% for kill a couple of initiatives, right?
Well, you know, he is associated with a group that did a lot of spending, about $1.6 million in 2012, that, you know, in a couple races that lost. These are citizen initiatives, like you mentioned. One was going to create a top two primary system. The other one was going to extend the temporary one-cent sales tax. Both of those were kind of handily defeated, and those were the races that they were spending that money in.
Okay, so it's not, it is. It's not just the
oh, no.
Republicans in Arizona have gone crazy with dark money. No, everybody, Republicans, Democrats, you name it, it's dark money loco.
It is not limited to the Republican side of things. It just happens to be that this is Arizona. This is a Republican state.
Right.
That's where a lot more money is.
They're gonna get more money here.
Sure.
This is a national phenomena. Now, the other one that caught my attention, and this is in the subject of fingerprints, you looked at the Christine Jones ad, her independent, was put in by an advertising agency by the name of Martz Parsons. Now, in full disclosure, I've known Carrie Martz for 30 years. I've done work with her. She's a top-notch advertising pro, not particularly politically oriented, just got bought out or partially bought in by a fellow by the name of Bob Parsons, which is why there's a second name.
I know that name.
You know Bob Parsons.
Darn right.
The head of GoDaddy. Guess who? Where Christine Jones made her money. Now, that's maybe a little less than conclusive proof, but it's some pretty sticky fingerprints to say where those things
are. Well, it's easy
to
draw those lines. I don't think, oh my goodness, I don't think there's a courtroom. Oh.
By the way, I do want to bring, we have another guest here. His name, interestingly, is Tom Ryan. And segment one, we had Attorney General Tom Horn, who mentioned that Sarah Beatty had gotten herself an attorney, and he said she's suing for money, and that's her motivation. And Tom Ryan happens to be Sarah Beatty's attorney. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Did you want to respond to that specific comment?
Absolutely. First off, Sarah Beatty has not filed a suit and has no intentions of filing a suit. We initially wrote a letter to Tom Horn telling him, please don't destroy evidence. It may be evidence in a suit. Sarah is.
That's pretty standard legal technique, right?
You
said, don't spoil it. We're putting you on notice, and so if you start destroying stuff, you are destroying evidence.
Well, plus we already had evidence that he had been destroying evidence. He even admitted in his own response, I told her to get rid of that email. So we had
There's nothing illegal about, well, maybe for a public official, but if you want to start shredding documents in your home, that's okay. But if somebody sends you a legal notice that says
not.
Don't do it.
Right. Yeah. And especially a lawyer knows a litigation hold letter has a specific meaning, and Mr. Horn knows that.
Destroy nothing.
This whole idea that Sarah's always done this with every employer is simply not true. His claim that he's got 11 statements about Sarah, let me just say this. Sarah was the only one who signed her statement under oath. It's subject to perjury if she was lying. All 11 statements submitted by Tom Horn, not one of them is under oath. So, he can say all that stuff all he wants. Sarah Beatty is a profile encouraged. The people of Arizona really owe her a debt of gratitude for stopping this guy who is campaigning on the taxpayer dole. And by the way, we're getting ready to respond to the Clean Elections subpoena. And the subpoena asked for all the rest of the
emails.
That's
one of the two investigations. The other one went to the Secretary.
Three.
Okay.
We have a Maricopa County Attorney's Office investigation. We have the Secretary of State, which has now been referred out to a judge and a former town attorney in Clean Elections.
I'm not going to question you out of a gig.
Right.
By any stretch of the imagination. So if Beatty has no intentions of a lawsuit or any that, why does she need an attorney?
Because when you're a whistleblower, bad things can happen to
okay.
you. And Arizona has a very weak whistleblower protection law. Our state.
Do we have one?
Well, you have one, but it has all the protection of a wet noodle against raging crocodiles.
Can I ask a question
sure.
about that? How did you come into contact with Sarah Beatty in the first place?
She was referred to me. There had been a prior dust-up between Tom Horn and an outside group called the Arizonans for Ethical Treatment of Politicians or something like that. and they had run a campaign against Tom Horn talking about some of his improprieties. He filed a SLAPP suit, S-L-A-P-P suit, to stop that. I was called by a reporter from the New Times who asked me about it, and I said, have that company call me for free. I will represent them. That what Tom Horn's doing here is just nonsense. And then Tom Horn dropped the lawsuit immediately as soon as he heard my name. So somebody said, hey, if I were to go get a lawyer to go up against Tom Horn, I'd get this guy who frightened him before. So that's how she was referred to me.
What's the end game with Tom Horn?
My end game is simply to do what I've already done, which is to report it to the appropriate authorities and to now comply with their request for information. I get no money. I have not charged Sarah a penny for fees or costs.
My guess is she doesn't have deep pockets.
She has no money, and nobody is paying me. And if anybody offered me any money, I'd turn it down.
And I think, just for the record, my recall, and you may know the figures, I think she got hired at $23,000 or something like that. She got raises. She got a hefty raise there up to into the 30s or something like that, but not big money.
No, she was hired at around $32,000, and by the time she left, she was at $45,000. She was hired solely for the purpose of running the fundraising element of Tom Horn's campaign. And the documents we've already provided proves that, and the documents we're going to provide here shortly are going to prove that even more.
Okay. Wow. There you have it right there. See, I didn't know you were bringing the attorney. I didn't know you were bringing law dogs in here, Doc.
Well, I don't think Tom Horn knew that either.
I don't think he did.
On the other hand, I didn't know why I was going to have Tom Horn until I walked in here today.
And apologize to the AG. All right, holy mackerel.
I do think if you take on the attorney general, it's not a bad idea to have an attorney.
Good call there. Good call, Doc. More talking dark money and all things Arizona politics right here. Dr. Mike O'Neill, Mike Russell. On the Think Tank, News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
You're listening to the Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
We are back in the Think Tank. Evan, a question for you. Walking through the various races here, one of the ones most conspicuous right now in terms of the suspicion of dark money and who's paying for it is Arizona Corporation Commission.
It is. You know, the Corporation Commission is typically not a very high-profile race in Arizona.
Most people go ho-hum, ho-hum. Last time people got excited was in the 80s when rates were skyrocketing.
Well,
Then we elected a bunch of Democrats to the Corporation
Commission. Well, no one worries about the Corporation Commission until they get their utility rates spiking, and that's it.
Rates went through the ceiling, and we ended up with a Democratic Corporation Commission for about 10 years as a result. And then people forgot that, and it went back to the normalcy, and normalcy in Arizona is Republican. But there is internecine fighting here. This is Republican primary, and some of that money looks like it's coming from APS.
Well, we can say it looks like. And I don't know if we can definitively go beyond that, but here's kind of where we're at with it. We've got two Republican slates running for two seats. You've got Doug Little, a businessman from the East Valley. You've got Tom Farese. He's a representative in the House of Representatives here in Arizona, down at the Capitol, State Capitol. And then you've got Lucy Mason, a former lawmaker up from Prescott, and Vernon Parker, former mayor of Paradise Valley. All right, so you've got these two slates running for these two seats, and we're already looking at what looks like about $400,000 in outside spending on a race that normally does not get that kind of attention. And the money is basically all lined up behind Doug Little and Tom Farese. So it's real clear that somebody really wants to see these two elected.
And it looks like those two are much more hostile to the solar industry.
They have put themselves out there, kind of aligned with this fight that has been going on between the solar industry and the more traditional utility here, APS. So they are definitely lining up, you know, with APS. And you've got the Vernon Parker and Lucy Mason side of things where they're really taking on APS, and they're happy to go out there and bash APS, say that they're trying to keep them off the ballot, spending money, you know, through back channels. And, you know, we are able to look at some of this spending and see that these are contractors who do business with APS.
And I think the point of this for people to understand is that the Corporation Commission sets rates. They, in effect, determine how much money APS makes.
They do that. They regulate APS.
But they're also Arizona constitutionally bound by a certain percentage that the utility has to run on in a profit margin, correct?
Yes. They're basically given a guaranteed roughly 9.5% to 10.5% profit margin.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice game.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, the rationale there is that APS needs to be able to raise money for infrastructure. They need to be able to really guarantee that people who can pony up $1 million Are going to get a good return.
You don't want your power company going out of business.
You want
them stable, but there's millions of dollars around the edges.
I agree.
The edges being what counts in the rate base. If you have this activity or that activity, or if you start sticking fees to solar companies, you make life easy. There's a whole lot of stuff where there's millions and millions of dollars at stake and decisions that the Corporation Commission make.
Yeah, the essential question remains, though. How is putting their hundreds of thousands of dollars into a political race helping them out on the infrastructure? And that's therein lies the problem. And I'll be the first one to say it. APS's fingerprints, lip prints, DNA is all over this campaign. And they are totally putting this money in. And if I'm wrong, they can come and sue me. But the plain fact of the matter is, I am right. APS is putting their thumb on the scale, and it's not right because they're using ratepayer money in an inappropriate way.
So, Tom, how did we get into this mess? Big picture.
Oh my God. Well, it starts with the idea that there's always going to be pressure for politics and money, and our Supreme Court over the last 40 years have just done a horrible job of taking away protection after protection. First, it was Buckley versus Valero and this kind of developing concept that money is free speech. First, let me address that briefly. Money is not free speech. That is a canard. Money can buy access to free speech. It can buy radio time. It can buy a billboard. But money in and of itself is not free speech. And that's a problem. The second development is this whole concept of corporations as people. Because if only people can donate and a corporation is now a person, this is a huge problem. And that's a whole nother issue. Thirdly, we are giving tax incentives to individuals and corporations to dump not millions, but billions. This is a rampant problem across the United States. We're dumping billions of dollars into these 501c3 corporations, and they're just turning it around and doling it out to politicians. And if you don't think that's having an impact, you're
501c3 is tax exempt.
Correct. That's tax exempt. There's a rule, and Evan and I were talking about it at the break. There's a rule that about if more than 50% of your money is going into political campaigns, then you lose your tax exempt status.
How quickly do you lose your tax exempt status? Because
never. that's the problem.
Yeah, right.
The IRS has been, the IRS has been so gutted that the its capacity to go out and really supervise these things has just been reduced to a silliness. It's trivial, and so now everybody.
How does this fit? If you listen to congressional hearings, you'll hear that the IRS is this rampant crazy beast that's in everybody's.
That fits within their thing. It's they defund the IRS and say, look how ineffective it is. They find a minor scandal with this, them looking actually doing their job and looking at 501c3s. And by the way, the testimony has come out that not only were they looking at conservative Republican groups, they're also looking at liberal groups. But that part
and
of the
they
story,
didn't ding anybody, if I'm not correct. Is that right?
Correct.
In other words, the bottom line is they didn't declassify a single entity on either side.
Exactly. And it gets even worse because they're saying, well, you delayed some of the applications. Well, you've also cut the funding to the IRS, and they don't have the number of people to review those applications.
But from this side, and to be fair, from all of our side, as a normal taxpaying folk, we see, oh, you cut the IRS funding? What did you cut it to? X amount of billions? Cry me a river. Work it out with what you got. It's no excuse that you were backlogged on something. We hear that a lot. We hear that a lot from any government entity. We ran out of money. It's because of sequestration. It's because of a 2% cut on a 6% increase. We can't do our job anymore. We have a hard time with that.
Well, here's the thing. There are a lot of politicians in the United States who have taken a pledge to Grover Norquist, which, by the way, I have a huge problem with because we should be pledging allegiance to our flag, our Constitution, our country, and not to an individual like that. But here's the problem. One of his things is he says, I want to take government and make it so small that I can drown it in a bathtub. And this is part of that process. If I unfund or defund or underfund an organization such that they can no longer do their job, whether it's the FDA, the IRS, or any other three-lettered organization, then you can make them look like, well, they're weak. They don't do their job. They're not great. Why are we paying all this money in the mm-hmm. first place? And so it fits within the meme that was created by Grover Norquist. Let's make it so ineffective that everybody's going to want to drown it.
But it sounds so appealing. Because I would like to drown the entire IRS, and I don't think I'm in the minority on that one.
Flip side on that one is, would you turn your corporation over to an avowed socialist who didn't believe in free enterprise? I don't know. Do you want to turn the government over to somebody who doesn't believe in government? People want to have smaller government. That's fine.
Right.
But it ought to be somebody, and as Grant Woods made this point, and he said, it ought to be somebody who wants government to work at whatever level we decide to
make
it work.
That's and I think that's all the people want. We want government working.
Correct.
And the way we see government spending and it's not working, it seems okay. Throwing more money at it seems to not be working.
That's absolutely the problem. Is now what we've got are congressmen and women who are so afraid to act outside the dark money that we cannot get real resolution to problems that are facing us. And it's not just Congress. You look at our state legislature. Right now, we have a groundwater problem. We have a water management issue. And you see what's going on in California. It's coming to Arizona. We cannot avoid that because they're going to be taking Colorado River water from us. Here's the problem. I don't hear anybody out on the campaign today saying we got to address the groundwater management and water management in Arizona.
You're not going to get a demonstration over that one.
No, you'll have demonstrations in front of kids from the YMCA down at Oracle.
But yeah, scare them. They deserve it.
Yeah, I want you. Well, you're going to see the real fear in their eyes of the citizens of Arizona when we find out that we have not paid attention to the water issue in the state of Arizona.
We don't react very well to really big issues if they're long-term issues.
That's right.
I'll react if you take my pool away. Let me tell you that much. Yeah. I will react.
Only when the water runs dry, not until.
That's right. That's right. And we will. But it's a bigger issue, and it's fun because Arizona's so much fun. This is what I love about Arizona politically, because we have a little piece of everything right here. All the national problems, we got them all right here, just on a little smaller level, and I love that.
You can't spell crazy without the AZ. That's
amen.
My motto.
Amen. You know something? I think every flag-waving, proud Arizonan would say, yes, sir, you are absolutely right. We put the AZ in crazy. That's right. Well, thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. And I'm going to pronounce it wrong. I'm sorry. Evan Wyloach, right?
Yep.
Evan Wyloach. See, I got that right. Tom Ryan, Dr. Mike O'Neill, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for being here. We should have had a second whole hour.
It works that way a lot of times.
Good night. This was good. Thank you all for your input. And thank you for being here in the Think Tank. News Talk 92.3. KTAR.